Welcome back, people. You're listening to the Introverted Nerd Watches. I am your host, Reese, and I am back with some Black Lightning, y'all. Because in this episode, I watched season 2, episode 1 of Black Lightning, The Book of Consequences, chapter 1, Rise of the Green Light Babies. Oh, I'm so excited. Black Lightning is back. I cannot tell you how happy I am that this show is back. I didn't even realize, like, I was excited for it to come back. I was anticipating it, but I didn't realize until the episode started how excited I actually was for this new season to start. I love this show. I don't know why I didn't realize how much I loved it. Maybe it's just because it's been a while and I didn't, it's been a while since I watched the first season. So back of my mind kind of thing. And I had other stuff going on, but Black Lightning is back. Oh, but before I just praise and love this show, I gotta talk about this title. Yo, the title of this episode, The Book of Consequences, : Chapter 1, : Rise of the Green Light Babies. Now, if you listened to my reviews for the first season, you know that I had some words about how long the titles were for the episode, some of the episodes of the show. To come back with a 2-colon title is, it takes some balls. So the Salims, they can't do this every week, right? I have not looked at the titles for any of the upcoming episodes. So I don't know, but goddamn, this title is long. What the fuck, y'all? Oh, it's too damn long. I've written papers shorter than the goddamn title of this episode of the show. Come on. But anyway, that's one of my few gripes. Before we get into the episode proper, let me tell you that you need to subscribe to the podcast, because I do this every week for Black Lightning and The Gifted, and for Throwback Thursday, Saved by the Bell. So go to Apple Podcasts if you have an Apple device. Subscribe, rate and review the podcast for me. If you are on Android like me, you got a ton of options. Go to Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Play, what else? Castbox, wherever you get your podcasts. So go all of those places, subscribe, rate and review, and come back, because, you know, this is fun. So, you guys, let's get into The Book of Consequences, chapter 1, Rise of the Green Light Babies. So, we find out that it has been a week since the events of the last episode. We're seeing the consequences. The title is very straight on. Jeff is at work getting reamed out by some white lady and some silent black people behind her. This white lady is full 53% on him. She is not having any of Jeff's bullshit. She's basically telling him that he's a bad liar or a bad principal, because the school has had like a few events recently, the kidnapping of Jennifer and Anissa, the attack on the school by Tobias and Khalil. And so that's enough to be going on. And Jeff's excuse for all of this is that he was away at a remote location, unable to be reached, and she's like, bullshit. she is not having it. And she tells him that the school is staying closed until they get some mental health care for all of the students, and they come to a decision about the disciplinary actions that they're going to take against him. So, yeah, Jeff got some shit going on in all parts of his life. You don't want to be Jeff. What is his name? You don't want to be Jeff right now. I forget his last name. Pearson? No, that's This Is Us. The Pearsons are whatever. You don't want to be Jefferson right now because that nigga got problems. So we got some good actors on here. We got good guests on this episode. Robert Townsend and what is his name? Bill Duke, I believe is his name. Let me look it up because that nigga was great. I was so happy to see Robert Townsend. Where has he been? I want to know where he's been because, yeah, his name is Bill Duke. Anyway, I'm sorry. So Robert Townsend is on there. He's a member of the school board. He was in the meeting with 53% and, you know, Jeff and the other black people. So I think he's a member of the school board, and his name is Napier. He's friends with Jeff. He makes a comment that they've been friends since the Olympics. So, you know, they've been friends for a while. He grew up in Freeland as well. And he's sort of the go-between between Jeff and the school board. So he's really good in this episode. And he's pissed at Jeff because Jeff really does have like this cavalier attitude about 53% and the school board in general, because when he talks to Lynn about what happened in that meeting, he doesn't seem very worried. He thinks that they are sort of making empty threats is the feeling that I got from him. you know, just the way he was talking about it. And Robert Townsend has to come back to him and tell him, like, yo, you're being arrogant. You know, you haven't wanted any of the he hasn't wanted to take any of the precautions that the school board has been recommending to him about more security and stuff like that. So, yeah, Jeff has not been good about keeping a friendly relationship with the school board. So he's kind of frustrating because I completely get where he's coming from. You know, he doesn't want those kids to be treated like they're in prison. And I totally get that. As somebody who went to school, I was in middle school when Columbine happened. And we got heavier security there. But when I got into high school, like a year or two later, we had heavy security at my high school. I mean, we had those, we had metal detectors, we had the conveyor belts that we had to put our bags through, and then we had to get wanded as well. So we had a ton of security. I know what it's like to go to a school that feels like a prison, or not even a prison, but it's like going to, if you ever been to jury duty in a big city, I know, like in Philadelphia, we have like a ton of security going into, you know, the court building. So that's what it was like going to school every day for 4 years. So I understand where you're coming from. On the other hand, when you had a problem, when you had the problems that he's had in the recent months, when people get kidnapped from your school, where people walk in with guns just freely into your school, and other people come and attack your school again on a second occasion, not very long after the first time, then you have to relent a little bit. You have to, you know, you have to give a little bit to, you have to earn back your freedom. So, I mean, if he wanted to stay the principal is, you know, and he, by the end of the episode, he does say that the school staying open is more important than having his job. So he gets it in the end. But he and Robert Townsend had one of the blackest conversations I've seen on TV in a minute. So Robert Townsend is telling him that he's, you know, arrogant and that Jeff has put him in the position of having to explain everything African-American to a group of white people. And Jeff is like, oh, you know, Jeff copping a little bit of attitude is like, oh, so you there to blacksplain to all these people. And Robert Townsend is like, Negro, please do not come at me like that. You're out of line. And what does he say to him? He says, you're getting a little too close to calling me a house nigga. And I was like, stop. Stop everything right now. Did they just say house nigga on the CW? Nigga. I was like, what? I could not believe it. I was tweeting about it and everything. I was like, oh my God, they said house nigga on this show. I couldn't focus on anything else for like a few minutes. Couldn't believe it. So it, okay, because in the last season, I felt that there were times when they, like, this has always been a black ass show. I'm not saying, you know, anything different, but there were times on this show in the first season where I was like, okay, this is a CW show. They can't say nigga the way that they obviously want to, because way too many people on this show were saying Negro when, you know, they would have said nigga at any other time. And they say Negro in this episode too, a few times. So, you know, they're not going to just completely switch to nigga. There's probably a limit on how many times they can say nigga in the episode. But the fact that they even said it this time was like, thank you. Because it was such a real moment. And I freaking loved it. So, yeah, that's Jeff and Robert Townsend, who I freaking love. Lynn, my girl Lynn, she got problems too. Lynn is a bad liar. But she is such a bad liar. So she's being interrogated by Bill Duke, who's an investigator for the ASA. And, you know, he's recording the conversation and everything, asking her questions, or the interrogation. And he's asking her questions. And he's like, eventually he just gets to the point. His name is Agent Odell, by the way. And eventually he gets to the point where he's just like, he's just not here for her BS. And I freaking love it, because the look on his face, like, his expression doesn't change. He has a great face because his expression doesn't change, but you can feel the change in him. He's a really great actor. I was thinking he's like the black, what is that dude's name? The teacher from Ferris Bueller that has that really like monotone voice, and he's a Republican. What is his name? I can't remember his name, but that's what he reminded me of in this episode, because his facial expression didn't change. His voice didn't really change, but he was just really not here for the Lynn bullshit. And she's such a bad liar, because while she's talking to him, trying to, because he's asking her, how did she get access to the pods, the people in the pods? And she's telling, like, she's giving him a bullshit story. And he's looking at her like, are you really going to give me this bullshit story? And her eyes are darting all over the place. She can't look at him. And I'm like, girl, if you're going to lie, be a better damn liar, because it was just so bad. they are just all of them bad liars. They shouldn't lie. None of them should lie, or they should have come up with a better lie. It's like you had a week to come up with a better lie than this. And none of them could do it. Like, none of them could carry it off. You know, Jeff is telling bad lies. Lynn, eyes darting all over the place. She telling bad lies. So anyway, I can't figure out what that guy's name was. But Bill Duke is like, you know what? This interview was over. And I'm done with all this shit. And he tells her that he's denying her access to the pods. He doesn't want her anywhere near them. She better not leave town. And that he says, you know what my problem is with you? You're a liar. And you've been lying to me for about an hour and a half. You won't admit it, but you have been lying. And I don't like liars. I'm telling you, this was hilarious. He's like, I don't like liars. Not because they lie, because we all lie. But I don't like liars because you make my job, my life more difficult. And I got better things to do than to deal with the horse manure that you are handing to me. And he gets up and walks out of the room. And I was like, ooh, like, Lynn, you better watch out, because this dude is not playing. You know, it's real cute. I'm, you know, talking about your Dr. Lynn Stewart and trying to tell your story about, you know, the green light. You better get your shit together, because by the end of this episode, Lynn goes to Gamby in a scene we don't see, but she goes to Gamby and she tells Gamby that and she gets Gamby to get her access to the pods again. And when Agent O'Dell talks to her at the end of the episode, he says, you know, he tells her he's going to find out how she got access to those pods again. And he's going to figure out everything that's going on with her, you know. So if she didn't have an enemy before, she got one now. That dude is not, he's no joke. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. What's going on with the rest of the city? Oh, so this episode started like so triggering. So the episode starts with a news report on a boy named Issa Williams getting choked out by the police, like live on television. Maybe it wasn't live, but it was on the news. Him being choked out and killed by the police. And I hated that. Like, I really didn't need to see it. I don't like when I didn't need that on this episode. For real. I feel like I see that enough in like regular life that I don't, like, I go out of my way to avoid those like police murdering videos. So to have that be the first thing you see in the episode was like, oh, you know, I didn't want it. And not that it was just, that's just personal preference. Not that it was like something terrible or I felt like it was exploitative, but it was not what I wanted to see. And I hope they don't make a habit of doing that, because they've done this. They did it in last season too, where they show some show things that like sort of equate to what's happening in real life or what has happened in real life. So I don't want that to become a habit, because I don't need that on this show. Like, you can deal with real life issues on this show without doing that. So that was my only thing about that. So Issa Williams, he was a green light kid. He's killed, choked out by the cops on TV. And that starts sort of the thing that the people in the community can't get their relatives, their pod relatives back, who they're calling them green light babies. If the title wasn't obvious enough, they're calling them green light babies. And in church, they're talking about how basically the government owns those people now. They think that releasing those people to their families would be a health hazard to the public. So, you know, nobody can get their relatives back. And basically what they have to do is sue the government in order to get access to the green light babies. And it's going to cost $500,000. Obviously, these are poor people in this community. Nobody has the kind of money that they need in order to sue the government. So Anissa is really hype about helping the people. Jeff is not about that. Jeff is focused still on getting Tobias. Tobias has been in hiding for the last week. Nobody knows where he is. So, you know, Jeff basically tells Anissa, we got to put this aside. We got the green light babies out into the open. We let everybody know, you know, what was happening to these people. That was the end of what we're going to do here. And Anissa says, okay, but she eventually is like, Anissa turns into Robin Hood, basically. She goes to rob a green light house, which is basically a drug den. And she, okay, we're still doing the breathing thing with Anissa because this whole scene is crazy. I actually kind of liked it. It was kind of fun. But Anissa, she doesn't put on her thunder costume. So she dresses all in black. She's basically Catwoman in this scene. She covers her face with a black mask. She wears all black and she sneaks through this house. And it's almost like she's invisible. I was like, how is she just walking through this house? Like, how is this a drug house where people are counting money, they're producing drugs, and nobody is on the lookout? Like, I get it, Anissa. But Anissa sneaks into the house. She's beating people up. And, like, nobody is looking out at all. So, it was just kind of, like, funny and ridiculous. Not bad, but she has a good fight. And a good fight to Flashlight by... who is it? I forget what the name is, but that song is great. There was a ton of great music in this episode. So you know what that means, right? We are about to get the dollar store. We are about to get dollar store music in the next like two or three episodes because the music in this episode was way too good. It was Flashlight by Parliament. I believe there were some Marvin Gaye in this episode too. Yeah, a lot of good music, and they made a splash for the season premiere. I appreciate it, but I don't want to know what kind of Five Below rapper we're gonna have doing the music in the next episode. I cannot. I almost can't wait for that just to see what it is. Yeah, so it's great. Anyway, Anissa, you know, beats everybody's ass. She's still doing that big, like, you know, intake of breath thing that I really don't like. She only does it a couple times in this episode, but I don't want it. Why can't she not do that? Why do we have to hear the sound of it? But she does use her powers really cool. Like, Anissa became a fucking ninja in the last week. You know, she runs up a wall and does a flip off of a wall while she's fighting these people. Like, Anissa has been training in the last week. She's been doing a ton of shit that has been off screen. Can't tell you what her acting is like yet. It's not, we don't see a ton of Anissa talking, which is probably for the best if her acting is anything like it was last season, but you know, I'm gonna give her time, not gonna judge too harshly, but whatever. So she steals the money from the green lighthouse, and she takes it home with her, but eventually she takes it to the church. And my God, is every so this is like a it is like the middle of the afternoon, you know, only the most hardcore of like religious people are even at this service. There has to be like 10 people in this room with including the pastor, like not even 10 people in these pews. And Anissa walks in, you know, all, you know, covered up and everything in her, you know, disguise. And the pastor is like, not today, girl. And he pulls out a gun, and then everybody, I swear, everybody in the pews stands up and pulls out a gun. Everybody is packing heat. I was like, what the hell? It was hilarious. Like, a grandma is sitting, is in the pews, like, with a gun pointing at Anissa. It was, I could not laugh hard enough. It was so funny that everybody just pulled out their guns. So Anissa throws the money on the floor, you know, telling, you know, she let them know, like, you know, I'm not here to, you know, I'm here to help, basically. And she throws the money on the floor. And everybody is just, the pastor goes to pick up that money. He's like, praise Jesus, praise the Lord. And I'm like, what? So somebody that you were just pointing a gun at throws money on the floor. Nobody questions it. Everybody just like, he's just like, praise Jesus. And everybody is just like, praise Jesus. Let's get this money up off the floor. I appreciate it. I wouldn't be out here trying to tell anybody anything, especially if I lived in Freeland. I'd be like, fuck that. I'm putting that money right in my pocket and I'm not telling anybody else about it. This is our secret. So that's basically what Anissa did in this episode. Poor little Jennifer is having a rough time. So, she's just having all the feelings. Like, she feels a way about, electrocuting that guy at the end of the season finale. She feels a way about Lynn shooting and killing somebody. She doesn't know if the person that she electrocuted is actually dead. So she feels a way about that. You know, she's just got all the feelings going on. And on top of all that, your girl is now floating in her sleep. So Anissa, being like a creepy creeperson, is actually films Jennifer in her sleep. And what you see is Jennifer like floating above her bed with, you know, her powers like coursing through her body. And then what looks like, it's really pretty, like fireflies. It looks, no, not even fireflies. It looks kind of like Tinkerbell, like, pixie dust, like floating all around her. It's kind of pretty. and so she's floating around like that. And, you know, she doesn't know why it's happening, but she also doesn't want to deal with it. So Lynn's idea is that Jennifer needs to talk to a therapist, which on like just I'm all for that. Like Jennifer is having like serious problems. She needs somebody to talk to. Obviously, she can't talk to her family because they all got their own shit going on. And like in the last season, they really did want to just push Jennifer's like feelings aside, push, you know, they wanted to push all that shit aside. So she definitely needs somebody to talk to. But Jeff is against it for really good reasons. You know, obviously she can't talk to anybody about her powers. But Lynn is not trying to hear that. Lynn is like, yo, because Jeff says he'll help her. You know, she doesn't need to talk to anybody. You know, he'll help her learn how to control and deal with her powers. And Lynn's point is like, yo, you know, you can teach her how to how to control her powers, how to use her powers. But if she's not right in her head, then none of that matters. And I think it feels like Jeff has a problem with, you know, people dealing with their mental health, because Lynn tells him at one point in this episode that maybe he needs to see a therapist too. And he asks her if she thinks he's crazy. And she jokes it off and she says, you know, I know you're crazy, but you still, you should go talk to somebody about, you know, everything that's been happening. So, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool to deal with superheroes that are dealing with their mental health issues, because this shit has to be tough. I mean, Jefferson needs to deal with the fact that Gambi has been lying to him his whole life, and, you know, just a ton of shit that he needs to deal with. And Jennifer needs to deal with her shit too. And it would be really cool because they both have different problems. So it would be dealing with people's mental health issues who are dealing with two different things, you know, neither one of what they would have to talk to a therapist about would be the same. So I hope they do it. I hope they deal with it in a serious way and not just, because it kind of pissed me off when Jeff was like, oh, so you think I'm crazy? Like, that's the first response to, you know, being told that, you know, you should see a therapist, you should talk to someone, is, do you think I'm crazy? And it's like, Jefferson, you deal with children. You're a, you know, school principal, you're an educated man. Your response to, you know, someone telling you you should deal with your mental health issues is not, you know, not saying that, you know, you don't need it because you're not crazy. So, yeah. I want him to be better. So anyway, with Jennifer, Lynn tries to talk to Jennifer and, you know, try to get Jennifer to talk to her and to deal with her problems. Excuse me. But Jennifer gets mad and she tries to run out of the room. And, you know, Lynn like tells her, yo, girl, you better watch your mouth. And when Jennifer tries to walk away and Lynn goes out to touch her, Jennifer shocks Lynn. Like, she electrocutes Lynn. And I'm like, oh, shit. I was just, first of all, I knew that was going to happen. I was like, this has to happen. Lynn has to get, you know, she has to get, one of these people has to do something to Lynn with their powers, lose control of their powers, and one, you know, in some way to Lynn for. So I was so waiting for this to happen. So, but Lynn, you actually see the moment where Lynn is like scared of Jennifer, you know, because obviously Jennifer, what she sees, what she's done, she's remorseful. You know, Lynn is laying on the ground, like clutching her arm, her shoulder, because she's fucking burned. And Jennifer tries to go over to her and touch her, and Lynn like rears back like, oh, like, no, like, don't touch me. And, you know, Jennifer, you know, runs out of the room crying. Lynn is still laying on the floor trying to call her, but she's, you know, she's like, it was a real reaction to what happened to her, to be scared in that moment. So I really appreciate it. And they, you know, she eventually goes to talk to her and she, you know, tells her that she's okay. But it's like, oh my God, what is it like for Lynn to live in this house with these people, these three people who have superpowers? Jennifer can't control her, so she's a danger to her. And so it has to be like really fucked up for Lynn to be living there and not know whether whatever she says will make one of them upset enough to lose control. And she would be like fucked up, like, in for real. So poor Jennifer, poor Lynn. Lynn didn't annoy me as much as this episode when she wasn't lying. I want to see how they're going to deal with Jennifer and her powers, because at the end of last season, you know, by the end, by the end where Jennifer was like body slamming that guy with her powers, I was thinking that she was going to come into this season with a little bit of a different attitude, more like gung-ho to learn how to use her powers and all that. But I appreciate that, you know, it's only a week later, so she's not yet. She's still dealing with everything. So I appreciate what they're doing with her. And she's not just going to be a part of the, you know, Thunder and Lightning crew just yet. You know, that's all sort of coming together. So we see later in the episode that Jennifer is with her friend Keisha from last season. Keisha is back. And, you know, so cute. Keisha is like braiding her hair and everything. But you find out that Keisha is, people on Twitter were saying that she's racist. But she's like anti, you know, she's anti-meta, anti the green light people. She's saying, you know, looking at those videos of those people, she's like, it's the end of days and all that. So, that's another thing that just has to suck for Jennifer, because it's like her best friend is like anti her, you know, anti people like her. So that really sucks that she can't even talk to her best friend about it. Like, I don't know that she was ever going to tell Keisha about her powers, but, I mean, if she was thinking about it now, she knows, she can't tell her this. So, Khalil is calling Jennifer, leaving her messages. And we find out that he's been leaving her messages. So he leaves her a few. We only hear one of them in this episode. And she says that she's not going to tell her parents or the police, and she's just going to save all the messages. But that is not good, because I feel like the more Jennifer sort of closes in on herself like that, the more likely she is to turn to Khalil. And I can't figure out what Khalil's, like, what's his motivation? Like, is he actually, because he tells Jennifer that he's, I believe he says that he's sorry for what happened, and that he's scared and he doesn't know what to do now. He just wants to talk to her. Now, I want to know if that's if he's being real, or is he being manipulated by Tobias to try to get closer to her? Because does Tobias, I cannot remember. I didn't watch, I haven't watched the last season in a while. Does Tobias know who, that Jefferson is Black Lightning? I don't know. I can't remember. Eventually Keisha and Jennifer are sitting in her room talking, and what we see is that Issa is being carried out of some building in a body bag, which I got so many problems with this part. But Issa is alive. He climbs out of the, you know, he starts moving around in the body bag. He climbs out of the body bag, and, you know, everybody, the police are pulling out guns. You know, his mother and his sister are like crying. The mother is like, you know, scared, and she's saying, that is, you're not my baby. Like, Issa is walking toward his mother, and she is like, you are not my baby. My baby is dead. I don't know what you are. And she eventually says, what did she say? I want you to be, she tells him, he's not her baby, and that she was glad to bury him. And it's such a terrible moment, because I don't know, because once she says that and her daughter is like, mom, you know, it's almost like she snaps out of it and she's like, oh my God, I didn't mean any of the things that I just said. I don't know why I said that. So I want to know, like, did something like physically happen to her to make her say that? Because what we see with Issa, like, Issa is like, he's getting scared. You know, he can't walk closer to his mother, but he's starting to glow under his skin. So I want to know if that has anything to do with changing his mother's mood like that, because, Yeah, that was terrible. You know, she tells him she was glad to bury him. Oh, break my heart. So, eventually the police are like, you know, fuck that. This shit is crazy. And Issa's sister tells him to run. And I'm like, oh my God, tell him to run with police who already have their guns out. and he's supposed to be dead. He just climbed out of a body bag. No, you don't run. But the police didn't shoot him. So I guess she was right. But no, I'm so surprised the police didn't just shoot that nigga in his back, because that's what I was expecting. The fact that the police didn't even, I don't think they took a shot, or maybe if they did, we didn't see it. like that shit is crazy. But the problem that I had with it is that they were just carrying the body bag. Like when you take a body out in a body bag, you usually put them on a stretcher as well and you wheel them out. You don't just carry a body bag like two people carrying the body bag like you would carry a coffin or something like that for a funeral. So I was just like, come on. Like, I get it. You wanted to have the effect of having him moving around in that body bag. But you could have done that on a stretcher, because I'm like, there is no way ever anywhere in this United States of America that they would carry anybody in a body bag like that. You know, they would always put them on a stretcher. So especially if you're going to be, if there's any chance that you could be recorded, like, you just, it would never happen. It's a small thing, but it got to me. So Jennifer and Keisha see that, and this causes Jennifer to like sort of freak out, and she starts to glow the way that Issa did. And she runs and locks herself in the bathroom and, you know, tells Keisha to leave. And what we see of her is that Jennifer starts like a force field of that light is just around her. And she's, you know, locked in the bathroom, sitting in the bathtub, and eventually Jeff comes and he's able to, you know, touch her and absorb the energy she's emitting. Now, I was thinking, like, is she emitting this energy because, you know, some way physiologically she can tell that Jeff needs to be, needs to be recharged or something like that. Like, I was wondering if their powers were that connected. But somebody on Twitter, I forget who it was, because I want to get the person right. I don't, was it? They explained it to me, so I want to give them credit. Q on Twitter, it's at King Wright. It's KIINGRYT on Twitter, said that they think that it's, since she creates her own energy, her body is constantly making it. And since she doesn't use her powers, it's too much for her body and it starts leaking out without her control. So basically what Jeff did, is just helping her. It wasn't specifically to charge him up. So thank you for that, because I'm a dummy and I wouldn't have thought of it myself. so go follow that person on Twitter. They obviously know everything about that lightning. They're very smart and they should know. They know everything. So that's basically how the episode ends with them, with that family. So another thing happening is our girl VP Thirsty is back, and I don't know what she's doing. So this is nuts. Like, okay, so VP Thirsty is walking out of her building, or walking out of a building, bags packed, you know, carrying stuff out to her car or something like that. And she's in a parking garage, and Cyanide comes out, you know, telling her she has to come with her. Tobias, I guess, wants to see her. And VP Thirsty is wearing a bright ass silver jumpsuit. Like, like she's coming out of a club or going to a club. Like, I did not get any of her clothes in this episode. Because I'm like, okay, it seems like she's trying to be like undercover. She's trying to sneak out. You don't want to sneak out wearing a silver jumpsuit. Like, at any point in time, like, I did not get her outfit at all. You know, she looks good because she's VP Thirsty and she always looks good, but I'm just saying. Like, who wears that? So Cyanide and VP Thirsty have a crazy fight, and Cyanide is the worst. She, like, last season we're supposed to believe like she's like this badass, but she was constantly like getting her ass beat and not being good at her job. And so eventually VP Thirsty wins. She wins their fight because she has like spikes in her shoes, and she stabs Cyanide in her neck with the spike in her shoe. And Cyanide dies. Like, I was wondering, like, is this fake? Like, is this a fake thing? Is Cyanide still alive? Like, isn't she a robot or something? But apparently, nope, Cyanide is dead. I'm glad she's gone, though. She wasn't that good an actress, and she wasn't really good at her job anyway. Tobias can do better. As far as, like, henchmen are concerned, he can do better. But then VP Thirsty has this line to Cyanide where she goes, bitch, you wet my hair or something like that. And that's one of those things where it's like, okay, I get it. You're a black ass show. I didn't need that line for you to prove that you were a black ass show. It was just like a step over the line. It's like, yeah, we get it. You know, wet your hair, blah, blah, blah. Black women don't like to get their hair wet. I get it. But come on. Like, it was corny and I just didn't need it. So VP Thirsty goes to Gambi because everybody goes to Gambi for everything because he has connections to everyone. And, she goes to Gambi still dressed like inappropriately for somebody who's trying to be incognito. My girl comes in wearing a sequin top, the titties hanging out, a like satin suit, and like the biggest Marilyn Monroe glasses that you have ever seen. And the worst wig. Like, her hair was like, that wig was terrible in that moment. Yeah, it was awful. They need to do better because she had a bad wig last season too. Like, come on, do better for your girl. So anyway, she goes to Gambi for help and she tells him, you know, she's trying to get out of the ASA and disappear. And, you know, Gambi's the only one that can help her. And she tells him that she can get him that suitcase or that briefcase that everybody wanted from the end of last season. And he asks what's in it. And she says hell is in it. But he tells Jeff later that she won't tell him exactly what's in the briefcase, but it must be really important because she's trying to, you know, use that information to leverage so that Gambi will help her. But when she says hell, I was thinking that it was a drug, but it can't be another drug, like, right? Like, something that's stronger than green light. I mean, I don't know. I really do want to know what's in that briefcase. And Tobias has it. And she tells him that she can get the briefcase. So she goes, once again, in a, you know, a crazy costume. So she walks into Tobias's, like, office, and she's wearing like these night vision goggles that light up. It looks like those goggles that the kid in Jurassic Park picks up out of the back of the car that the lawyer tells him, like, you know, when he asked him, like, are they heavy, and the kid says yeah, he's like, then they're expensive, put them down. It looks like that, the way they light up. It's so, like, it was crazy. Those goggles were crazy. So she goes to Tobias, and Tobias is like sitting in the dark by himself. The room is only lit by that that fish tank that he has, and he tells her, you know, Sai and I was the last person alive that I cared about. And, you know, he basically tells her he's going to beat her ass, and she pulls out a couple guns, and Tobias does what I have been wanting him to do since last season. My dude pulls out his harpoon and harpoons her. So he's equal opportunity. He harpooned Lala in the first season, harpooned VP Thirsty this season. He starts pulling her across the floor. And eventually she cuts herself free, and she jumps out of the window to get away from him. So we know she's not dead. So she'll be coming back, you know, whenever she'll be coming back. She didn't get the briefcase, but she's going to need help. She's going to have to go to Gamby for help. And maybe Lynn too, since Lynn is a doctor. I'm thinking that when VP Thirsty shows up again, she's going to need Lynn to like patch her up. So I wonder, if we're supposed to believe, like, was VP Thirsty, I believe we're supposed to think that VP Thirsty was actually into Jeff. So I want to see what's going to happen when, you know, Lynn inevitably has to help her. It's like, this bitch that wanted your man is here asking you for help. So any old way, that is the end of the episode. Tobias is back with his harpoon. I'm excited about that. Khalil is his only henchman left, but Khalil might be on some other shit. And what else is happening? Jefferson and family got a whole bunch of problems going on. And I want to know, we see Anissa with, like, after she gives the money to the church, we see her later in the episode and she has more money. So I want to know, like, is she giving more money to them, or is she going to, like, because Anissa was smiling and packing up that money like she was about to keep it. So I want to know what Anissa is doing with that money, because, yeah, I got questions. And I want to see Anissa's girlfriend again. Like, I want to see that type of shit happening. I don't want this just to be, I want them to have, you know, real lives. I don't even remember the girl's name. Like, it's been so long since we've seen her. I don't even remember her name. Anyway, that is it, you guys. First episode of Black Lightning Down. Can't wait until next week. So if you would like to live tweet this show with me every Tuesday, along with The Gifted, follow me at NerdTravertPod. On Instagram, I'm at The Introverted Nerd, and like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheIntrovertedNerd. And if you have any thoughts about VP Thirsty or my man Tobias Whale and his harpoon, email me at TheIntrovertedNerd@gmail.com. And, you know, we'll talk about all of it. So until the next episode, people, bye.